Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa salatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today is another session of the message of the Quran, our daily Ramadan program. And today, inshallah, we'll be covering the summary of Juz number 16. So this series is brought to you by the organization called Helping Hand for Relief and Development. They've been a trusted partner for Qalam for many, many years, and they've served people around the world that are in need since 2005, specifically with the focus on international relief and development. Since their inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. And this Ramadan, they're specifically focused on continuing their fight to eradicate hunger around the world with their Share Your Plate campaign. So if you want to learn more and donate, please visit hhrd.org/Qalam. So today, inshallah, the section that we're going to be covering that I just mentioned is Juz number 16. It is known as Qala Alam. Okay, that's the name of the juz. This juz consists of some of my most, favorite surahs in the Quran. It's a smack dab right in the middle of the Quran. It's the end part of Surah Kahf. So the ayahs ayah number 75 to the end of Surah Kahf. Surah Kahf is Surah number 18. It includes all of Surah Maryam, which is Surah number 19, as well as all of Surah Taha, which is Surah number 20, ending at the end of Surah Taha at ayah number 135. So total, the number of ayat in this juz are 269 verses. Okay, so just a little bit of, I know that majority of Surah Kahf was covered yesterday in Sheikh Muntasir's session. So we're covering just the end of Surah Kahf. So this end covers the two stories, story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr, his companion, as well as the story of Dhulqarnain, the king. A brief summary of Surah Maryam, the main subject matter in that. Of course, it mentions the story of Maryam alayhi salam, along with her son Isa alayhi salam. It also includes a couple of other mentions of stories and prophets. Specifically, the message in that surah is regarding Allah's message, right? Allah's message that has been delivered by all the prophets before, okay? This surah is interesting. Actually, all three of these surahs are interesting. They were revealed in the Meccan era. Specifically, Surah Maryam, it was early Meccan era, prior to the first wave of immigration to Ethiopia, to Habasha, in the fifth year of the prophet's mission, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So in the surah, many prophets are mentioned. Allah talks about how he blessed many of these prophets and how they all served as helping guide the Muslims to achieving Tawheed, recognizing and understanding the oneness of Allah. four actually main stories are mentioned in this surah. And a lot of them have to do with, like, you know, family relationships. So it also emphasizes the importance of family relationships and the role of faith in kind of, you know, strengthening those family relationships. And finally, Surah Taha is one of my, again, most favorite surahs. It is a huge benefit or blessing of Surah Taha is that it was meant to be a consolation for the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as his followers, that, you know, to not worry, that eventually the message of the Quran will succeed. So in this surah, the story of Musa alaihi wasallam is mentioned in detail, specifically, you know, as he is going back to Egypt. And then another story is mentioned as well. And one of the benefits that we get from the story is how the, you know, again, blessings of this particular surah is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with the enemies of Islam. That those who oppose Islam, don't worry about it. No messenger has to worry about it. Allah is going to take care of it. Allah is going to take care of them, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to take care of the messengers. So the consequences for opposing the messengers and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them and how he takes care of his prophets. So typically, we kind of go through different ayahs, through the juz, and go one by one. But I wanted to kind of do something a little bit different today, because this passage, juz number 16, has many stories that are mentioned in it. Okay. And so I thought it may be a little bit more, cohesive if we actually go story by story, okay, and try to do what we can to summarize the story, get, one major lesson that we can mention, a couple ayats from that story, and kind of just round it off with the dua, inshallah. So there's eight stories that are mentioned in this juz. The first story that is being mentioned is the story of Musa alayhi salam and Khidr. It starts from ayah number 60, ends at ayah number 82 of Surah Kahf. So three things took place with Musa alayhi salam and Khidr when they were actually, when they met. So the beginning part of the story was at the end of Surah number 15. This juz starts off where they're basically going to a town and they requested to be hosted. Okay. And the people of that town refused to host them. But then Khidr, right, this person who has been given, you know, very, very specific, special knowledge from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, specific knowledge that has been, you know, granted to him. Okay. He saw a wall that was falling and he decided to build it back up. Okay. So the agreement between the two was that they're going to go along on this journey and Musa alayhi salam is allowed to accompany him as long as he doesn't ask any questions. Okay. But at this time, when the Khidr decides to help build up this wall, Musa alayhi salam, he asks and says, you know, as a person who, as a prophet who stands up for justice, he questioned him, not necessarily asking a question, but more so questioning him. And it said, well, you know, they didn't host you. You could have asked them for compensation for your efforts. So this was really the last straw for Khidr. And he said, it's time for us to separate our ways, go our separate ways, but I will tell you the interpretation of my actions. So the first thing that happened at the end of Juz 15 was that he had made a hole in a boat and that the people who owned that boat, they actually helped Musa and Khidr. So he explained that the reason for that hole, he made that hole, was that a king lay beyond in the sea, and he was basically forcibly taking all of the ships that were properly functioning. So it was actually a favor that Khidr was doing to those people, that hole, small hole could have been easily fixed by the sailors, but it also saved that boat from being captured and taken over by this oppressive king. The second thing that took place, and the second explanation that he was giving, is that he actually ended up going to another town as they were going along in their journeys, and he found a boy and he actually killed him. Okay. And it, this horrific incident, right? We look at it, we're like, he just murdered somebody. But he explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically informed him that this boy was going to grow up to be a rebellious and harmful person for his parents, and that it's part of the divine wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him to go before he reaches that age. And yes, the parents will grieve, it will be difficult for a little bit, but they will have another child that is better than him. Okay, So that, you know, that second story was explained. And then the third occasion, as for the wall, right? He mentioned that he, again, from the divine knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was informed that it was owned by a righteous father, that these people were not good, right? They refused to even host him. But this particular wall, it was owned by a righteous father, and he had two children, and there was a treasure underneath it. And because that wall was kind of broken down, it would have been possible for the people of the town to find that treasure and take it forcefully without giving any sort of regard for the children. So with him repairing it, the kids now knowing that there's a treasure in it that belongs to them, they, when they're old enough, they can, you know, claim their treasure. So one major lesson that we can learn from this story, these different occasions that between Musa alayhi salam and Khidr, is that things are not always as they seem. Things may look on the outset to seem very bad or difficult, but everything runs according to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's divine wisdom, and we may not recognize it, but it may actually be a benefit, right? I mean, we have crazy things happening around us all the time, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely in control. And more often than not, we can, I mean, just think about the past year. How likely is it that we've been able to find a, you know, blessing in disguise, or a silver lining to that cloud, you know, some sort of goodness that came out of that difficulty, right? So the lesson is that things may not always be as they seem. The surah ends off with the second story that I'm going to mention, which is the travels of the king, great king Dhulqarnain. This is mentioned in ayahs 83 to 101 of Surah Kahf. He was a believing king that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a lot of power and resources to. He traveled to the west. Okay, first he traveled to the west and he found a people there that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically inspired him and told him, you can deal with them. Okay, you can either deal with them in goodness and reward them or punish them. And his judgment, you know, being a righteous, good king, was that his judgment was that I'm only going to punish those who've actually done wrong, and then I'm going to reward those who have done good. Okay, so we learn about how to, you know, good leadership from the story of Dhulqarnain. He then traveled to the east side, and he found a people that didn't have any covering from the sun. There's not much more else that is said about them. He continued on his journey and found a people who barely comprehended language, but they did express to him that they had a need, okay? They were being oppressed by this people, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. They are groups of people who actually their release is going to be one of the signs of the Day of Judgment. But at that time, they were being oppressed by these people. And so as a king with all those resources, he was able to help them. He helped them build a barrier. And then what's really beautiful is that as a good leader, he attributed his good deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in ayah number 98, he mentioned, قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. He says, this is a mercy from our Lord. So one major lesson that we can learn from this is our job in life is to do good in accordance with what we have, with the capacity that we have, everything that we have been given by Allah. But a part of our job is to also recognize that this has been given by Allah. So ultimately, whatever good we do for anybody else and in this life is just a manifestation of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that must always be attributed back to Him. Be appreciative of the blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it's even a blessing to be able to help other people, help the world around you, and that is a blessing to be appreciative of. Okay. Now let's move on to the beginning of Surah Maryam. Okay, the beginning of Surah Maryam, it starts off with beautiful words, Kaf ha ya ayn sad, right? That only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the meaning of it. Right? That there is, despite how good we may be at the Arabic language, there is still certain things that are beyond our understanding and capacity. Okay. So the first story that's mentioned in Surah Maryam, it's from ayahs 1 to 15. It's the story of Zakaria alayhi salam and Yahya alayhi salam. So Zakaria alayhi salam, he was an elderly prophet at this time. He really wished for a successor. He wished for a child. He and his wife were old. They were childless. And now he's at the stage of his life where he's very concerned about his heirs, his progeny, who's going to come after him. And despite his current situation, against all odds that, you know, dunyawi related odds, right? His age and, you know, his situation, he made dua and it was answered. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with the child, Yahya alayhi salam, who is known to be soft-hearted, pure and pious. Okay. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds in ayah number 9 of that surah, qala, he mentions that qala kadhalika, qala rabbuka huwa alayya hayyin. وَقَدْ خَلَقْتُكَ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَمْ تَكُ شَيْئًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds that it's just going to happen. He wanted Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the way that he answered his wife, Allah doesn't need any means for him to fulfill whatever he wants. He gave Zakariya alayhi salam a child. That was it. You know, there's nothing else that was necessary. And that's easy for Allah. And he made you from before. He created you when you were from nothing. Okay. So why is it so unfathomable for us to recognize and understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can create things, even if it doesn't seem likely in our own understanding? You know, why do we question or question what is possible for Allah, right? Mm-hmm. We may, you know, things may look impossible for us, but nothing is impossible for Allah. So don't ever limit your du'as. Allah is unlimited and He can provide whatever He wants, however and whenever He wants. Our job is to just ask and sincerely believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer our du'as. The next story that is mentioned is the story of Maryam alayhi salam and her son Isa alayhi salam, another miraculous story of childbirth. This is mentioned in ayahs number 16 to ayah number 40. Maryam alayhi salam, a little bit about her. She is a pious young woman. She was dedicated from before birth to just sit and, you know, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And without any means, without any sort of human interaction, she gave birth to a baby boy, Isa, right? This was a miracle. And so this story of, again, another story of the miraculous conception and the birth of Isa alayhi salam emphasized the power and majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He does not need cause and effect. Those laws don't apply to Allah. Allah created laws and He, you know, chooses to do whatever He wills to do. Right. And through that story, that emphasis, and again, another theme in that through that story and in that surah is that he says, مَا كَانَ لِلَّهِ أَن يَتَّخِذَ مِنْ وَلَدٍ سُبْحَانَهُ إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He says in ayah number 35 that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have any children. So all sorts of false understandings, misunderstandings about Isa alayhi salam, just throw them out. Isa Islam is a child. His mother was Isa Islam. He was born without a father, full stop. He's not the child of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is far above having anybody associated with Him. Subhanahu. And when He wants to do something, إِذَا قَضَى أَمْرًا فَإِنَّمَا يَقُولُ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. He says, be and it is. It takes place. Okay? And so, you know, nothing else. You know, we don't try to justify or logic out. That's when we get into problematic, you know, areas where it's important for us to understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. There is nothing that is associated with Allah. And when He willed something to happen, it happened, whether it makes sense to us or not. So, and one lesson that we can learn is that she didn't give herself a child, right? So this was a very confusing thing for Maryam alayhi salam as well. And it's something that she's not understanding. It was difficult for her to understand it. We have things that we don't understand all the time that occur in our life, but we have to have firm conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divine wisdom and a plan for it. And our job in this is to continue being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do our best, and leave the rest to Allah. The next story that's mentioned in Surah Maryam is from ayahs 41 to 49. This is about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and his father. And another narration is that it's his uncle, Azar. Okay. And this story, very briefly, it emphasizes how the perfect way of communicating that Ibrahim alayhi salam has. He is the pinnacle of da'is. He shows us exactly how to give da'wah. He uses kindness, gentleness, but that doesn't mean that he wasn't being persuasive and using logic. Throughout these verses, he keeps on mentioning, ya abadi, oh my dear father, emphasizing that kindness and gentleness. But that kindness and gentleness, it was what Ibrahim alayhi salam needed to do. That's how he needed to address his father or uncle. But the idolatry makes a person's, you know, heart hard, okay? It turns them into stone. So it was very difficult for Azar to accept what Ibrahim alayhi salam was saying. It even though he was speaking logically, Azar was not able to think clearly. So with that being the case, there was nothing more that Ibrahim alayhi salam could do. And our lesson, though, is that our lesson is to try. That despite who's on the other side of the conversation, our job is to always speak with dignity, kindness, and gentleness, right? Regardless of what the other person's response is. Finally, in the last story that's mentioned in Surah Maryam, is a story of Musa and Harun alayhi salam. It's very, very briefly mentioned, just a couple ayahs, ayahs 51 to 53. It's just a brief point about their relationship that they're brothers, okay? And Harun alayhi salam was actually the elder brother of Musa alayhi salam. And Musa alayhi salam requested Harun alayhi salam as help and support for him. And that request is actually going to be mentioned in Surah Taha, so we're going to further talk about it there. But one lesson that we can learn from that brief mentioning is that we would never say that Musa alayhi salam did not trust in Allah. No, na'udhu billah, he's a prophet of God. Of course he trusted in Allah, right? But just because trust in Allah does not mean that you can't necessarily ask help from other people. Those other people have been put in your lives by Allah. Maybe it's our job to actually also take help from them. That's how one of the means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in our lives to receive help, right? To take that help. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Harun alayhi salam to be his help and support. So we should never shy away from asking for help, but know that ultimately it came from Allah. Okay. At the end, at the rest of the surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises other prophets. He praises Ismail alayhi salam, Idris alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, and Nuh alayhi salam. He mentions in ayah number 58, he mentions at the beginning of it, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, that these are prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored. So recognizing some of their beautiful aspects. So these are people blessed from Allah by the prophets. And then finally, the surah closes off by just mentioning points about related to the hereafter. We're going to jump now right into Surah Taha. Okay, Surah Taha is surah number 20. It provides a detailed story of Musa alayhi salam. And there is, another story mentioned at the end of it as well. But mainly the surah is focused on the story of Musa alayhi salam. A little bit of a background. One of the beautiful contexts about the revelation of or a story related to the seerah of that's related to Surah Taha is that one of the Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he actually accepted Islam after coming into contact with these verses, with the beginning verses of Surah Taha. It hit, it hit him so hard. It was so powerful that the power in them, it actually, turned his heart. And that's the power of the Quran. That's what the Quran does. It can turn people's hearts, right? So our job is to try to understand and connect with the Quran and allow our hearts to just come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to do that. So the story, the surah talks starts off by telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically that this revelation is not meant to stress you out. Remember, again, this is early Meccan revelation. The Muslims are being persecuted. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being hurt. It's a very difficult time for the young Muslim ummah. Okay, it's a very stressful time. And so through these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this revelation, it's hard, but it's not meant to stress you out. Don't worry. Don't worry. Allah is taking care of everything. And then he asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have you heard the story of Musa alayhi salam? The story starts from in this surah where Musa alayhi salam is returning from Madian to Egypt, okay? And he gets appointed as a messenger and he's given miracles from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces Musa alayhi salam to himself, right? Tells him that I am Allah, I'm your Lord, and gives him an instruction, tells him that you have been given miracles. One of the miracles is that when he puts it under his arm, it turns into a glowing white hand, okay? That's one miracle. Another miracle that he's been given is that his staff that he's, been so familiar with, he uses it all the time, he loves his staff. He actually talks about his staff to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This staff, when he throws it down, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala miraculously turns it into a serpent. Okay, so he's given these two miracles, and now he's being told that you need to go And you know, you have a mission to complete. You're a prophet. You're given prophethood. It's now time for you to fulfill your mission. Okay. And so that mission is to go back to that very place that he was oppressed, that it was very difficult for him, the household of Fir'aun. Literally the worst person in all of humanity at that time was the Pharaoh. And he has to go walk right up into his doorstep and have a conversation with him. This guy who calls himself Allah, right? Claims that he is the one who deserved to be worshipped. And now Musa alayhi salam's job is to, you know, talk to him and invite him to Allah and tell him that you are not God, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only one that is worthy and deserving of worship. This is not an easy task. So now over here in ayahs number 25 to 35 of the surah, Musa alayhi salam makes that beautiful dua where he says, رَبِّ اشْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِّن لِّسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي وَاجْعَل لِّي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي. Okay, and he goes on and continues. He says, oh Allah, relieve my anxiety, expand my chest for me, make it easy for me to speak, because this is, you know, he was known to have some sort of difficulty in speech, speaking. So he said, untie the knot from my tongue. يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, so that the opposition, the other party, is better able to understand me. وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْنِي, and make easy for me my matter, my mission, make it easy for me, because it's not an easy task that you've given to me. And also, وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِّنْ أَهْلِي, also this is the dua that he's making to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to appoint Harun, his brother, as his support as well. Okay, and so he makes this beautiful dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds, accepts his dua, and this the continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds and says, basically reminds Musa alayhi salam that, don't worry, you're taken care of. You hear the common theme that's in all of these verses? Allah's taking care of you. You have to do your job, but Allah's taking care of you. Allah's taking care of you. In fact, he's been taking care of you. He's been taking care of you since before you were born. As a baby, as a child, he took care of you. Your whole life has been specifically set up and designed by Allah, right? Don't forget that you are being taken care of, but now you need to do your job, okay? So it mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions these favors about how he was rescued as a baby from the Pharaoh's plan to kill all of the children. He was saved from that. Right? So now Musa alayhi salam, he heads towards the court of Fir'aun, and there's a really intense conversation that takes place. Fir'aun still chooses to refuse, even after Musa alayhi salam, you know, kindly invites him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he refuses. In fact, the miracles that he presents, Fir'aun thinks it's magic. So then he says, okay, you know what? It looks like you want to have a little magician's duel. So let me invite all of the expert magicians from the area, and you guys can duel and see who will win. It's like complete off the point. But this was something that Fir'aun asked to take place. So then all of the magicians of the area, they gathered and they basically had this duel. And clearly, because Musa alayhi salam, he's not presenting with magic, it's a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It wasn't while the magicians were presenting illusions of ropes that turned into snakes. Musa alayhi salam's snake was an actual snake because it was a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What happened was that the magicians were able to see that this was not some magic trick, right? They recognized that this was only a prophet from God would be able to do this, right? And so they accepted Musa alayhi salam as prophet. They actually all accepted Islam. They bowed down and accepted Islam at that moment, recognizing that this is a prophet of God and his message is true and he must be accepted. That didn't make Fir'aun happy at all. You know, there was a reverse effect that took place. He was really upset and actually ordered them all to be martyred, okay? Still, Fir'aun refuses to accept Musa alayhi salam, and finally Musa alayhi salam is able to lead the believers out of Egypt. Fir'aun tried to chase them, but then he drowned, okay? And you know, his story kind of ends there. But the story of Musa alayhi salam and the children of Israel continue. Bani Israel continue. They're in the area, the Sinai Peninsula. They're enjoying many, you know, blessed gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provided for them. However, they lost track, right? They forgot what they were here for. They forgot what they were doing. And when Musa alayhi salam went up to the mountain, Mount Sinai, in order for him to receive further revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had left Harun alayhissalam in charge of the people. He found out that basically there was this man named Samiri, that he fashioned some sort of cow, calf thing out of gold, and the Bani Israel started worshiping it. So immediate for, you know, denial and forgetting of the favors and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, you know, these people so much, saved them from torture, saved them from so much difficulty, persecution, saved their life, allowed them to be able to worship him freely, and they turn right back around and can, you know, associate partners with Allah. Musa alayhi salam returns back. He's very, very upset. He's upset with Harun alayhissalam, and Harun alayhissalam defends himself. He's upset with Samiri. Samiri confesses, and he is eventually punished. Okay, the story end. The surah continues. There is a little bit of a interlude between this and the final story, where there is a conversation about a little bit of a discussion on the Day of Judgment and how no intercession on that day will help without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives permission to whom he wills on that day of judgment. Lastly, the story of Adam and Iblis takes place at the end of Surah Taha, starts from ayah number 115. This story is briefly mentioned in many different parts of the Quran. This is another brief mention of it, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the command for the angels and Iblis, who was amongst the company of the angels, to bow down to Adam alayhi salam, and Iblis refused. And so from that day forth, he vowed to be the enemy of all of humanity. And we learn the lesson from that shaitan is an enemy. So treat him as your enemy. Okay. This closes off as a reminder and a lesson to the enemies and opponents of all prophets, and a lesson and reminder for us that our job is to do our job, right? Our job is to try our best, try our hardest, but not stress about the things that we don't have control over. We need to be mindful of the dangers that exist, but ultimately our job is not to stress about it, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of everything, in control of everything, and those who do wrong will be dealt accordingly with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to close off by mentioning ayah number 130 at the end of Surah Taha, where we're given, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and by virtue us, we're given the explicit command by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about what we should do. In stressful circumstances, what is our response? فَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ قَبْلَ طُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ وَقَبْلَ غُرُوبِهَا وَأَطْرَافَ النَّهَارِ لَعَلَّكَ تَرْضَى. Okay? That we, our job is to persevere and be patient, because what they say is going to be bothersome, but don't let it get to you. Try hard. Don't let it get to you. Sabbih bihamdi rabbika, praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorify him during the morning times and the evening times and throughout the day. Continue glorifying and praising and worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our job. Our job is to seek help through patience and prayer. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to stay, to give us the ability to stay steadfast on our prayer, to not stress out about the things that we don't need to have that patience, and to recognize and fully remember and understand that everything is part of the perfect and divine plan of Allah. And with that, we close off. Jazakumullahu khairan. Please, as a reminder, please support what we do at Qalam so that we can continue offering programs like this. Please visit supportqalam.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruk wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.